Okay, guys, this show is all about the power of embracing the marketplace. As you know, I'm a former social justice warrior. Starting in college, I bought into all things liberal. Next thing you know, I'm interning at Planned Parenthood. I become a socialist-leaning union steward and ultimately landed on the board of the ACLU. So basically, I was that girl that frustrated all you Christian conservatives. Fast forward, I become a Christian conservative, and now I'm just as frustrated as you are. Naturally, I get asked all the time, what do we do? How do we reverse what the left has done? The most simple answer, embrace the marketplace. America prospered through free market enterprise. School choice will unleash prosperity, and prosperity will drive out socialism. Want proof? Of the top 100 inventions of the 20th century, 99 came out of the USA. These innovations propelled the US to become the most powerful economic engine in the world. Here are three powerful examples of what can happen when we embrace the marketplace. Imagine Alexander Graham Bell sitting at that first telephone. Now, pull out your iPhone. That's the power of embracing the marketplace. Now imagine the Wright brothers' first airplane. It only sustained flight for 12 seconds. Now imagine the space shuttle. That's the power of embracing the marketplace. Few people are familiar with the first television. It was a big box, but only had a 3-inch screen. Today, we have televisions that cover buildings in Times Square. That's the power of embracing the marketplace. Let's contrast these examples with K-12 education. Most people couldn't name the first public school. It was Boston Latin, founded in 1635. Benjamin Franklin attended this school, guys. It's still in operation today. The school had a teacher writing on a blackboard with a group of students seated at their desks in front of him. Almost 400 years later, not much has changed. Why not? Because K-12 never embraced the marketplace. Truth is, we've been driving on fumes with this old model. School choice can fix this. Every other marketplace became a laboratory of ideas, while K-12 became a place where innovation went to die. Come on, guys. The 17th century is calling, and it wants its school system back. There's two perspectives on education. The left wants factory schools with big unions driving the narratives. The right wants free market choices with parents driving the narrative. Most Americans agree that one size fits all isn't working. 50 million students with diverse needs deserves a buffet of K-12 options. We take for granted all the evidence of how our lives are improved because our forefathers embraced the marketplace. That telephone went from the wall to our pockets because the telecom industry embraced the marketplace. The airplane went from the open-air two-seater to the space shuttle because the airline industry wasn't afraid to embrace the marketplace. That television went from that 3-inch screen to your flat screen because the electronics industry was willing to embrace the marketplace. The whole world benefits from a diverse marketplace for housing, cars, food, colleges, daycares, and healthcare. So why are leftists refusing to embrace the marketplace when it comes to K-12 education? It all comes down to one word, and that word is power. They have it and have no intention of sharing it with anyone else, including parents. To defend their territory, the left is inventing myths about school choice. Here's some popular myths you'll hear about. One, school choice only benefits rich white families. Truth is, poor and minority students benefit the most from school choice programs. School choice isn't available in rural communities. Truth is, school choice programs doubled the number of rural private schools in Florida. School choice violates the separation of church and state. Truth is, the phrase separation of church and state appear exactly 0 times in America's founding documents. It's not in the Declaration of Independence. It's not in the Bill of Rights. It's not in the Constitution. This phrase came from a private letter written in 1802 from Thomas Jefferson to the Baptist Church in Danbury, Connecticut. The context of the letter is about how the First Amendment will protect the church from government intrusion. Another myth, tax dollars only belong in government schools. Truth is, liberals leverage tax dollars for government programs that transfer to private hands all the time. Food stamps go to private grocery stores. Housing vouchers go to private landlords. Pell grants go to private colleges. Here's a fun myth. That's the myth that public school teachers don't support school choice. That ain't true. This is the one area where government school teachers are happy to embrace the marketplace. And that's in the area where they educate their own kids. In fact, a Fordham University study found that 20% of public school teachers send their own kids to private schools. Yup, where only 11% of regular old Americans send their kids to private schools. A whopping 20% of public school teachers are bypassing the public option in favor of the private marketplace. Baltimore, 35%. Cincinnati, 41%. Oakland and San Francisco, 34%. Rochester, New York, 38%. And Philadelphia, 44%. Imagine going to a restaurant and asking the waiter, "What's good to eat here?" And he laughs, "I don't eat here." That's the message parents hear when 20% of government teachers, 38% of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and 52% of the Congressional Black Caucus block access to school choice for poor and middle-class families, but embrace the marketplace for their own kids. Just to be fair, evangelical Christians have their fair share of myths, too. My favorite is, we're going to get the Bible back in schools. The chances of that happening are slim to none. And if it did happen, you better be following the Bible back into the classrooms. Otherwise, you're trusting the same people who are telling your kids that a boy can become a girl to teach the word of God? That's scary when you think about it. What if instead of embracing mythology, we embrace the marketplace? This is what it could look like. Conservatives would acknowledge the fact that America only has 99,000 government schools versus Christian America having 330,000 churches that are sitting empty 90% of the time. Let that sink in. We Christians have 3 times more infrastructure. We just got to activate these buildings into one-room schoolhouses. And just like that, we're changing the course of America's future. Bottom line, critical race theory, which I've rebranded the Black Demoralization Project, has zero power to eliminate poverty. But embracing the marketplace does have the power to eliminate poverty. CRT does not improve reading, writing, or arithmetic. So why are we taking up valuable class time that could be better used to improve literacy measurements? DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, can only be achieved when we redefine DEI to mean discipline, excellence, and innovation. In the 21st century, both the NAACP and the Urban League are rethinking their support for school choice. Let me leave you with a fun framework through which we can think about K-12 education. To do that, compare the K-12 industry to the fast food industry. Embracing the marketplace means we build a buffet of options. Think about how many options we have for food in America. Homeschool has a place on the buffet. In fact, Black America is the fastest growing segment of the homeschooling industry. Innovative charter schools deserve a place on the buffet. Christian schools have a place on the buffet. Of the 34,000 private schools in America, almost 90% of the schools are Christian. Over 860 are Jewish day schools, and over 200 are Muslim schools. Truth is, the more options on the buffet, the better the government schools will become. Because competition makes everything better. Better phones, better televisions, better airplanes, and better K-12 schools. Reality check. Embracing the marketplace means accepting the reality that the K-12 landscape has changed. As of today, America has passed the tipping point. 34 states have passed meaningful school choice legislation, and the 3 most recent Supreme Court cases ruled in favor of pro-school choice, pro-parents, and pro-embracing the marketplace. Let that sink in. In 100 years, when their great-grandparents talk about failing government schools and zip code-based education models, the teenagers are going to say, wait, what? The government used to run K-12 schools? So my final message to the church, whose job it is to really educate students, is embrace the marketplace, because the fate of America will not be determined in the White House. It will be determined in the schoolhouse. I'm Lisa Watson. See you next time on Schools Out.